So while we're talking about the statute, imagine someone came to you and said, oh, we have need of another tribunal somewhere, mm-hmm. and we'd like you to take the lead on that. Mm-hmm. And you had responsibility for drafting that mandate. Mm-hmm. What would that mandate look like? I mean, what way would it be similar to the kind of mandate that is for this tribunal? And in what ways would you change things based on your experiences here?
Mm-hmm. I think that I would borrow quite a lot from the current setting. When I first came here, I had, if you had posed this question to me years before, my answer would have been different, particularly in respect of my civil law background.
Oh, so tell us about both, what you would have done at first and
yes,
what you would do now.
Definitely, because when I first came here, I come from a civil law background, meaning that all the investigation are done by an investigating magistrate. You have a judge, a neutral judge, who investigates the issue, both for the prosecutor and for the defense. And that's that case file, which is now put before a judge, and you call upon the party, the prosecutor and the defense, just so to make use of that case file already gathered by a neutral organ. So that's quick. And if the investigating magistrate, he does very well his job, so that's good, that's fair enough, and that doesn't involve a huge amount of money, because that would be just an international civil servant doing the whole investigation. And of course, now party will be called upon to make up their case. But our tribunal have been modeled according to the common law pattern. So meaning that, it's up to the party to make up their case, the prosecution does his investigation, the defense on his side will do also his own investigation. They will make up the case before judges who are only basically umpire, just sitting, listening to the evidence, and making up their mind based on what has been put forward before them. So that's, of course, a very lengthy process. It's naturally lengthy, but there are now some other factors which compound that length when you are in an international environment, because witnesses are scattered around the world. If every party has to go around to the United States, to Belgium, to France, to Philippines to look or to fetch witnesses, you can see that, why it is so expensive. So, and my thinking then was, okay, this will never end. Why can't you just appoint an investigative magistrate? He will do all the investigation. He will avail the material to both parties. They make up their case. It's quick, it's cheaper, and it's fair. So that was my thinking. So, but the more I got used to the common law pattern, the more also I found lots of merits in the way they conduct business. So I think that now, even in terms of this setting being expensive, my thinking is that it's, to a large extent, it is linked to the international setting. Anyway, even if you had an investigating magistrate, he will have to travel around the world. And sometimes my experience from the practice of an investigating magistrate is that, that's not always the best way of doing investigation, because the level of resolve I see here, defense lawyer, doing things to protect the interests of the defense, I am no longer sure that an investigating magistrate would put that much of effort to do it. So now I am inclined to think that it is fair for the defense to conduct their own business, because that's their own faith which is at stake. And you see that, that level of proximity they have with their own defense, having this resolve to check everything, not to leave any stone unturned until they get what they think is in the best interest of their client. I am not sure that I will find that resolve with any investigating magistrate. That's why now I'm inclined, of course, to do it. But of course, I would still plead for some improvement, borrowing from the civil law system, because the aspect I don't like very much with the common law system is that, you know, that's a system which formally is quite fair, which gives a lot of means and discretion to party to put up their case, but this is also a system which permit a clever lawyer to get his own way without necessarily being right. So you may be wrong, but if, because there are a lot of technicalities also involved, like cross-examination, picking and choosing specific question, eliciting just a portion of information which may help you put up your case nicely. In the civil law system, for example, you can't do that. When the witness is at the understand you, that the questions are open-ended, he will tell you everything he has in mind. You can't direct him so specifically just to get exactly what you want.
So is there a case you have in mind where you think having had that civil law piece would have perhaps changed the case?
No, I'm not thinking of any particular case. In fact, I think that maybe I have even pushed it too much, because I remember a specific case where we had two judges from the civil law. But you will see that their background in fact had a huge bearing on even the way the case was conducted. I refer to the Musema case. In the Musema case, we have this English lawyer defending the accused, and we had Judge Gama, that very judge I spoke earlier, who is from Senegal, and another judge, Aspegren, who are from civil law background. But I would remember particularly Judge Gama, you know, who was not at ease when, for example, the defense lawyer during cross-examination would just elicit portion of evidence for his case. Judge Kama would always interject and say, no, I want a full response. So, in fact, this is also permitted by our rule. Though our rule are mostly designed following the common law pattern, the judges, they have, you know, power, discretion to interject and elicit whatever information they require. But of course now, you know, making use or not of that discretion would depend on the judge's background. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.